when I think of environmental decision making, it's decisions that we make to mitigate the impact or the effect of humans on the environment. And all too often, that impact is negative. So we're looking at ways of how to improve the environmental quality of life for all of us. For over 100 years now, we have attempted in our environmental policy making and natural resource decision making to use science as the basis of that decision. It's called decisions based on sound science. However, we have many competing interests. There are economic interests, and there are social interests, there are political interests. In fact, there are even aesthetic interests and values. Each of these are legitimate and important. So how do you balance those different competing interests, which are often in conflict with one another? One of the ways I think that we can more effectively use science in decisions that get made is to use a collaborative process approach. When you're using scientific and technical information in a collaborative process to try to help achieve consensus, the term of art is called joint fact-finding. Joint fact-finding has been developed over the past two decades to better incorporate science in decision-making. Joint fact-finding is a very simple process, but very hard to achieve. Basically, what joint fact-finding does is involve in the process of asking the questions and gathering the data and doing the analysis, all of those people who are affected by the decision or have a say in the decision or have a stake in the decision. So this includes citizens, policymakers, decision makers, and the scientists. When we're in isolation, each of us view the problem differently. We have a different perspective on the problem or the problems. By coming together, we can discuss our perspectives and we can decide jointly on what the problem is or the problems are. Once we're able to do that, we can then begin to decide jointly on what the questions are that need to be asked scientifically to address those problems. So this results in an inclusive process which is transparent, which then fosters mutual learning. We take shared ownership for the problem. So it's no longer my problem or your problem. We're coming together to address the problem as a group or as a team. And when you're in a process, every single group that has done a collaborative process states the only way they're able to work together is because they have developed trust. This trust then results in an environment that is a safe harbor. You can begin to suggest ideas and approaches that you couldn't do otherwise, because each person is saying that while I may not agree with what you're suggesting, I recognize it as legitimate, and this forms the basis for a civil conversation. For a collaborative process to be successful, or to give it a chance of success, we think there are three key elements that need to be included in the design of the process. The first of these is that the stakeholders need to be self-selected. The second component of a well-designed process is to have it facilitated by a skilled, neutral professional. And the third element is that the process needs to be an ongoing conversation among the stakeholders. Probably the greatest environmental decision-making challenge we have facing us today is climate change and global warming. Climate change overarches everything, and the impacts that it's going to have on us as a society and a planet, we can only begin to imagine. Climate change is such a pervasive issue that we can't default to government agencies alone to make decisions about climate change. We need to come together as individuals. We need to come together in a stewardship process to decide jointly on how we're going to address climate change issues. I believe with a passion that for us to make an inroad into our increasingly difficult or wicked environmental problems, we need to come together as groups of people and really be stewards of the environment.